This program was made possible by the use of facilities and services of the Community Media Center of the North Bay. Good afternoon. You are listening to Sonoma County Questions on KBBF 89.1 FM. My name is Cherie Maria, and I am the host of the show Sonoma County Questions, inspired by the blog by Michael Aparicio of the Santa Rosa Junior College Philosophy Department, because there is power in questions and there is power in community. My guest today is Dan Kerbine. He is a host of Green Livelihood, Green Living, and we are going to be discussing today some articles in direct correlation to the Census Bureau and census data that has recently come out in Sonoma County. So there's an article that has been published by the Press Democrat, and it was written on March 9, 2009, and the most striking piece of the data from this news article was specific to a quarter of Sonoma County's residents are Latino. In addition to this, to give you numbers, that growth in the population over the last 10 years, the population grew from 79,511 to 120,430. That is in Sonoma County.
Wow.
Yeah,
could you repeat that?
Could you repeat? Yeah, can I repeat that? So, to put in a context, we have 483,878 residents that live in Sonoma County. One quarter of that population, with this most recent census data, are Latino, which translates to 120,430 residents of Sonoma County are Latino.
And that is up from 70,000 10 years ago?
It is up from 79,511 at the last census data. So you're looking at a 52% growth in a 10-year span. That is significant on a lot of levels. The purpose for today's discussion with Sonoma County Questions has to do with what are the implications of the census data for Sonoma County's political environment.
Well, I'll pop in here. They are many. There are also economic ramifications to this, and also for community involvement and community participation type of planning. For example, there are a couple things. I'll further introduce myself. I am my name again is Dan Kerbine. I am a co-host with Evelina Molina on KBBF Bilingual 89.1 FM of A Green Livelihood, Right Livelihood, Viviendo Verde Ya. I'm also a host by myself of a program called Green Heart Radio, which is on the KOWS FM out of the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center. And I'm on two boards for the Sierra Club Sonoma Group and the Sierra Club Redwood Chapter. So what I've been looking at is it has been great being involved with KBBF this way, because having this kind of involvement, this kind of view of is particularly in the Latino community, and having been involved for a while with Sierra Club on conservation issues, is there are things that we can connect with the Latino community. One is that what we don't have a whole lot of in the Sierra Club is younger people, and what you have a lot of in the Latino community is that kind of energy of younger people. And there's also, we're looking at how this is a community that is really eager to be for education, eager for to be taking a lead on a community on its own, taking a lead on a number of issues, and one in particular is in the area of green jobs, and in the area of what we're talking about with green livelihood, that that is the big wonderful vision that if we're talking about the eyes on the prize, that would be one of them.
One of the pieces of data I find exceptionally interesting is that 120,430. Oftentimes, I feel that immigrant communities feel that depending on their status, where they are within the immigration process, or if they are undocumented, they feel that they don't have a voting voice. And what is really telling with the census data is that one of the key components of our political environment and our political climate is that we live in a capitalist society as well as a representational democracy, which means we have two mechanisms that you can have voting power. There is a ballot box, and in addition to there being a ballot box, there is your wallet. There is your economic power. And you have economic power in how you invest your money, and you have economic power in how you do not invest your money. So that
even if you have really not a lot of money,
that is true. You can look at the and there are ways in which you can invest your money into your community that have political implications, have policy implications.
Yeah, and I like that you're going in that direction of the political, because that is kind of an ignored piece. The article that you're quoting from, it doesn't really go there much. And it's kind of like a groundswell sort of phenomenon that you could look to with numbers like that.
And I'm going to talk about this data, which is why this is going to look like very boring television, but hopefully very interesting radio. That between 2000 and 2010.
It'll get more interesting, by the way.
It will. I'm frankly, I'm not interested in it being interesting for the television viewing audience. I'm interested in it being. My focus is radio, so you'll have to bear with me. I'm looking at data and numbers.
Viewers are just going to have to make stars out of us for us to really be, to tear us away from radio.
Sorry to break your heart. Yeah. So from 2000 to 2010, this data has just recently come out, and the overall county population grew by 5.5%, which is smaller growth than in the 90s, which is indicative of our housing crisis, which is brought out in the article. And the housing crisis that we have going on in Sonoma County, with exception to within the last 5 years, is that Sonoma County is outpriced in affordable housing. Affordable housing is a very key issue for immigrant communities and a very key issue for creating diverse representation in your community. If you do not have an affordable housing component, and if you do not have an affordable housing component in the leadership of your community, development projects can come through that can have no affordable housing, have no mixed use, have no response to all the needs of the community. And based on the census data now, there are 120,430 residents of Sonoma County where perhaps affordable housing might be an issue of concern for them. And perhaps boards, commissions, city councils with greater representation from the Latino community, affordable housing could be brought up as a policy issue and brought to the forefront as a result.
So, Cherie, what percentage of the Sonoma County population is this representing now, and what does it look like it's trending toward? I mean, if it's been an increase over the past 10 years from 80,000 roughly
correct
to 120, mm-hmm. Isn't that a 50% increase?
That is 52%, to be specific.
Yeah. And if it were to do that again,
correct.
What would be so? Let's say, looking right now, what sort of percentage of the Sonoma County population are we looking at that have on their census forms indicated that they are Latino?
Correct. Well, and this is the interesting thing about the census data, is that the census data is strict to that. It is data. It is compiled over a year-long process, and it is purely for the purposes of data and purely for the purposes of how we get a lot of our federal funding. So when you're talking about roads, when you're talking about grants, when you're talking about infrastructure, the census is very key to all of this. So when the numbers are leaning towards that one quarter of Sonoma County's population,
one quarter
are of Latino representation, that really should translate, and by translating I mean here, now, today, that should translate to every board, every commission, every city council. Every aspect of local government should have 25% representation from the Latino community.
Right, 1 in 4 of everybody on a board. In order to fulfill a mandate of diversity.
If we could have a diversity mandate,
if
sure.
If there were one to be followed,
correct.
Then if there are 8 people on the board, 2 would be Latino, if they're truly representing the population.
If we were following a guideline of representation democracy, and went with the knowledge that one quarter of the population of Sonoma County are Latino, correct. That is a correct assessment, that we should have one quarter representation to every board, commission, city council.
If I remember the 2010 census correctly, and I knew somebody who was actually a census taker, is that some of these people risked their lives getting the census done. I mean, there were all kinds of weird, okay, I'm going to use the word Tea Party types. You know, we know who they are. You know what? We don't know who they are, but we know what kind of people and views they have. And I'll just lay that out there. If you're a Tea Partier and you want to call us on KBBF and come on the air, we'll be happy to, you know, do whatever with you. But exchange brains, I guess. But at any rate, there were people really going through a lot of effort to get this census data. And one of the things, as I recall, was that it was a particular challenge to get census data in Latino communities because of fear of La Migra, the fear that these federal representatives might actually be immigration agents in census takers' clothing, and that there it might be, and that people actually were, that if this data, there may be a factor in this data that it may not even be as large, this data may not even represent as large a portion of the population as it is.
Correct.
Because of people who actually hid from the census taker because they thought they were La Migra.
Correct. And that is one of the challenges within the Census Bureau. The Census Bureau in no way, shape, or form is responsible for immigration purposes. That falls under a completely different category. It is not part of their jurisdiction. And as a matter of fact, they have rules and mandates that they are not allowed to inquire about a person's immigration status. It's actually forbidden for them as census takers. The questions are specific to data that they're looking for of getting an accurate calculation of the population shift in any one given community. So they are, in a lot of regards, prevented from entering into the immigration status debate. One of the key questions that has come out of this is that when we now see that one quarter of Sonoma County's population is Latino, the question then becomes, is that representation reflective currently with all of our boards, commissions, and elected officials? And interestingly enough, in this exact same article, they pointed out that we now have Ernesto Olivares, was elected to Santa Rosa City Council. He is Santa Rosa's first Latino mayor. And then they also made mention of the fact that Tiffany Renee, Petaluma City Council, and then they also went on to mention Efren Carrillo from the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors. And then
from Roseland,
correct, from the 5th District. They also went on to make references to, but they, I believe this article omitted Laura Gonzalez, who is on the Santa Rosa School Board. However, when you're looking at the examples they give, that's not 25%.
Right. But an interesting phenomenon did occur, and this is where we can start exploring a little bit about how is this actually showing up in ways that maybe aren't as obvious as what, first of all, there's what's so far been showing up in terms of voting power of the Latino community, and then there's looking at what could be showing up.
Correct.
And once this, well, I'll let you, I'll set the stage for you to talk about that. But what we can see is that there was a 5th district supervisor race. There was a competition for that. Efren Carrillo didn't, it wasn't like he didn't have competition. He had a very, very strong opposition from Ruth Furch in the 5th district, who was from the West County. And she actually had the support of the least diverse community of Sonoma County, Sebastopol.
Oh, you read that article as well.
That's right. That's right. I'm in Sebastopol, and I've lived there. We listen to world music. So, don't like say we aren't diverse. We listen to world music, and, some of us speak a little Spanish. But at any rate, it's not a place that has a diverse community living there. And
interestingly enough, that article did point out one of the large mitigating factors to that is that Sebastopol specifically has a they're lacking in affordable housing, and they're lacking in affordable housing opportunities for people. So that is a mitigating factor in, I believe, their diversity. In addition to that, Sebastopol, their economy is somewhat limited to a certain degree by geography.
Right.
But
it's not like it was planned that way.
No, it was not necessarily planned that way. It was a farm.
Fell that way.
But they don't have a wide breadth of industries in Sebastopol. And so those two combinations have a large effect. But the housing component is very key to looking at the overall numbers for Sebastopol.
And it's very interesting, too, because there's no lack of environmentalist interest. In Sebastopol, Occidental, out in, I'm part of that. When I'm on KOWS FM, when I'm hosting Green Heart Radio, I'm part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very surprising to me. It was an awakening to me, because here was somebody who I thought was a shoe-in to get there. Ruferch, who is the favorite of the environmental community, not so much of the environmental community really knew or understood what Efren Carrillo was all about. Kind of like a sort of a relative, compared to Ruferch, relatively unknown. So which would have made her more of, to a lot of people, more of a sure thing. And she didn't win.
That's
the
correct.
Latino guy won.
That's correct. I think similar, though, with Efren, it was very similar in Mike McGuire's campaign, that a lot of different coalitions came together under his candidacy. And I think that, in addition to, I think there was also a very strong ground campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But you're correct in that there was some political surprises out of that race that came to the main stage in a lot of ways.
So it wasn't simply that there was a Latino voting bloc. There were other coalitions.
There
like
were other circumstances around
other
it,
circumstances.
But
right.
It did make people very politically aware that the Latino vote in all districts needs to be taken into account and needs to be taken seriously, which is a very key component to this new census data that has come out.
Mm-hmm.
Because simultaneously to the census data coming out, another article has come out that actually is sourced from another venue altogether.
We're having a little paper noise here, folks.
Look out, we're reading, like the news, we're reading the news.
That is right, that is right.
That, yes, so this is another website, Impre.com, which is Impressions Latinas.
Impre.
As you can tell, I'm
Pocos
learning.
Latinos en las juntas estatales.
There you go. So, still learning the language. It's okay. Yeah. The interesting thing that came out recently in regards that we had the census data for Sonoma County. We then now have census data for the entire state of California. And at the exact same time, we are finding out that we do not have adequate representation on most statewide boards and commissions. And that is a very glaring number that it's very apparent.
What do numbers look like?
So when you're looking at the population for the state of California, one of the most glaring numbers that came out was that the majority of the boards and commissions for the state of California that there is little to no Latino representation. And one of the most interesting components is that the State Board of Education is an 11-member board. There are two Latinos on the board. However, half of all students in kindergarten through grade 12, so 50% of the K-12 students in the state of California are Latino.
So 50% of the people who are going to be affected by the decisions of this board are Latino, and only two of the people on the board are.
Correct. That has a lot to do with cultural curriculum. It it definitely is key when picking out textbooks and when looking at history. And it's also very key to some core components of a curriculum, and that if you don't have adequate board representation, there could be glaring omissions in the curriculum, and we are then not providing a service to those students that have.
And also the kind of attention that's paid to the neighborhoods and communities where those children reside.
Correct.
Where they're going to school, what kinds of schools they go to, and how classroom size. I mean, classroom size is a crisis all over the state, but what sorts of things are allocated and provided to mm-hmm. neighborhoods such as Roseland or out in the
right.
west, south, north Sonoma County, where there are Latino populations and the schools have a lot of Latino children.
Correct. So the article then goes on and continues to discuss that the Parole and Prison Department has 11 members, none of them are Latino. The Board of Fair Political Practices has 5 members, none of them are Latino. The Air Resources Board, with 11 members, none of them are Latino.
None are Latino.
None. The Board of Registered Nurses, Healthcare, 9 members, none of them are Latino.
How many registered nurses are Latino?
I wish the article could go on to give the numbers of, and that would be excellent data to find out. The Chiropractors Board.
I have an idea. Let's throw out some email addresses so people can, if they have that data, can email it.
Oh, that would be an effective use of radio, yes, of extracting data. So if that is...
I'll throw out mine. My email address is, it's dkerbin, it's dkerbin, dkerbin, @gmail.com.
And let's see if we can get some data to see.
Yeah, if you have any data out there about I just know the numbers in that field, of healthcare, that field of actually caring, direct care for patients in any realm, has a lot of Latino participation. So I'd be curious if someone has some actual numbers around that.
So the overall theme that is coming from this article that has to do with statewide boards and commissions, so we are talking about statewide population, is that the Latino population are underrepresented on most boards and commissions for the state of California. And simultaneously to that, we can then bring that back to Sonoma County and raise the question that is the political representation... Is the political representation of Sonoma County reflective of our most recent census data? And that is a very interesting question to raise, and that is why Sonoma County Questions has taken this on.
Yes. We're going to pull away a few veils, huh?
Quite possibly. Yeah. We might actually.
We're getting into the veil-pulling part.
Yeah, there you go. So the second question we're going to start tackling... I think has some very interesting implications. And the second question I have is that now that we have this census data information, now that we have this key piece of data, we now know that we have a voting block, and we have a potentially active community here that could have some very interesting implications in our political climate in the next 5 to 10 years. The other component, though, is that what types of voting power will the Latino community have here in Sonoma County as a result of the census data? And what I like to make a very key point to this is that while you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM,
you're also watching it on the Community Media Center.
Yes, this is a wonderful partnership.
A little information for our KBBF listeners is that this broadcast is also being carried in video over the Community Media Access Center.
Yes, multiple ways, multiple outlets to bring Sonoma County questions to Sonoma County. And KBBF 89.1 is a wonderful venue, and so is the Community Media Center. So going into our next half hour here, we're going to start talking about voting power. And the question for this half hour is going to be, what types of voting power does the Latino community have in Sonoma County? Some of this is going to be, you know, what is the future that we can, in some ways, look at based on the census data? And what are the impacts? And one of the things that I think is very key to our listening audience, a very key component to all of this, is that we live in a representative democracy. And by our framers' intent, by which is the Constitution of the United States, our framers' intent, the...
That troublesome piece of paper. Parchment.
Parchment, yes. The framers' intent, so the founding principles of our Constitution, is a representative democracy. Representative democracy, which means of the people, by the people, for the people. And that is a very key component. We do not have a representative or representation. That key component, representative democracy, is not class-based. The framers' intent behind that was not of the wealthy people to then bestow power over the poorer people. No. A representative democracy is not one class, one race of people representing everyone else. No. A representative democracy is of the people, by the people, for the people. And that's a very key component to look at, because simultaneously...
There's certainly case law to support that.
There is,
on the Supreme Court level.
This is correct. This is correct. On a lot of different levels. There is a secondary component to this that I like to point out, especially to our listening audience. Oftentimes, if you follow the media and if you follow what is being brought out as the tone of the dialogue, immigrants are viewed as having very little power. And people look at undocumented status, and there is a very egregious tone that likes to make you feel like you have no power. We live in a representative democracy. We also live in a capitalist economy. And capitalism then basically creates a secondary voting system. We actually have two votes in our country. And you have one vote that's a ballot box. That's pretty straightforward. And you can do lots of voter education. Mm-hmm. And you can encourage voter education in our schools. You can encourage leadership opportunities and the importance of voter education and importance of the voter the ballot box, that is the voting ballot box.
And with vigilance, you can prevent shenanigans that can keep people from voting.
If we can get Latino, and you know, the interesting thing that the Fair Political Practices Commission does not have any Latino representation. I find that very intriguing. But that's another article and discussion on the podcast.
Isn't it interesting how one question, when asked, can lead to others?
That's correct. That perhaps why are these appointments not, you know, why is that? Why is that? When looking at the overall numbers, why is that we're not seeing adequate representation? I'm really curious to know.
By the way, with our KBBF News and Public Information Team, and public affairs team, our nickname, what we call ourselves, is the Squeaky Wheels. We're asking why.
We're asking. We ask. There is power in questions. So we're asking a lot of questions. So another key component I like to bring up is that we can do a lot in the way of outreach and voter education, and that's a very important thing to do. However, living in a capitalist society, we have a secondary benefit here, and that is we have another way of voting. And the other way that we can vote is economically. You have the ability to vote in how you spend your money and how you invest, and additionally, how you do not invest. Boycotts have an effective result. We have seen this with United Farm Workers. We have seen this on key political issues. And we have unique opportunities when looking at an economic vote, because an economic vote is to the individual, and it has nothing to do with your immigration status. And that is why it's a very key component to be talking about now that we realize that one quarter of the population of Sonoma County is Latino. Raise my hand to this, and saying, I'm one of that 120,430. Don't let the eyes fool you. I am part of that population, and I am not alone, and I am a part of a new generation of that are asking questions.
Yes, and it's, okay, so I'm just going to keep going toward that this is also the makings for and the beginning of a new community.
Yes, and
there are some levels of denial and some levels of obstruction that need to be dealt with on the way to this becoming a new community that's inclusive
and politically aware
and
discovering that voice. Yes.
So, in this next half hour of the program, we will be delving into some of that economic power.
Correct.
Okay, great.
So the way we can start talking about economic power is understanding the economics of political power. And the economics of political power, I'm going to give you a little example of someone exercising political power that happens to be an economic force here in Sonoma County. So we have this wonderful little article.
Get it close.
Right, there you are. So
there
this is the Bohemian. And we have this interesting article
Congratulations. And we will give credit to who wrote it.
Yes. This is a wonderful piece to discuss economic power. And specifically, the North Bay Bohemian, a very, very wonderful source for news.
What was the date on this one?
This was last year, but
October or December.
I would like to point out the, how to alienate an entire community with one race baiting mailer. Now, the interesting thing about this article was that they won. They actually won after this article came out. Now, I don't know at the time when this particular independent expenditure committee came together, if they were looking at the census data, interestingly enough. So this article, written by Leilani Clark from the North Bay Bohemian, points out that during the last election in Sonoma County.
This actually came out after the election, about a month or so after.
Yes. Yeah. This was published in December 15th, 2010, North Bay Bohemian. You can still find the article online. And the interesting thing about it was that it caused quite a bit of outrage.
Why would it do that?
Correct. Now, interestingly enough, if you follow the numbers here from
the census,
we're going
to get to what's in this flyer, right?
We are.
Okay.
That if I was a political consultant and was looking at the future and looking at this flyer is very interestingly indicative of a tone that I think is going to become very politically irrelevant in the next 10 years. One quarter of the population of Sonoma County are Latino, and then 50% of all children in K-12 right now are of Latino descent. What part of within less than a generation you're going to see a radical political shift? And flyers that label immigrant communities, as this flyer conveniently did,
Let's get it right up there.
Nice
and
close.
Get it right up to the camera. It's
right up in the
focus.
Close. There you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Great focus on that.
You like that? Yeah.
It's
so
the sanctuary. And it's someone named Torliat. Who is
yeah.
this person?
Yeah, this is interesting.
Tam Torliat.
Yeah. So this is a Board of Supervisors race.
Is this directed at, against Pam Torliat?
This was a political hit piece.
So Pam Torliat was the victim of this?
Correct.
She was being accused of something.
She was, correct. She was specifically asked, would she support a policy that actually makes a lot of economic sense in a lot of ways, where we do not...
may I interrupt you a moment?
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading. I'm interrupting here. Sorry.
You can ask a question.
I was the kid in school who ended up in the corner sometimes.
Mm.
But I see this name here. It says there's a sub headline here: the fallout of fear, postage paid.
Mm-hmm.
Why the David Rabbit mailer
still matters. Yeah.
So who's this David Rabbit?
Interestingly enough, he was a candidate, and he is now on the Board of Supervisors for the 2nd District.
Was he running against Pam Torliat?
And he was running against Pam Torliat.
And he did this?
Well, this is the interesting thing about this article. If you ask him in a direct question of, did you create this mailer, he will emphatically say, no, I did not create this mailer. However, when this particular mailer came out, and this is from an independent expenditure group. And to explain independent expenditures to our listening audience, an independent expenditure is similar to a political action committee. They are sometimes standalone independent expenditure. They fundraise and they take on a particular issue and they focus around that issue and they engage in political activities for that issue.
Mm.
Or
is it like a PAC?
Very similar to a PAC. A PAC has some very, not to get too far
not
into.
Not the same.
Not the same. A PAC has some very.
What they have in common is money.
Money. That is a common denominator with both. Independent expenditures are. Oftentimes they are more issue-based. Sometimes you can have them on a long-term basis. You can have an independent expenditure that comes out of a neighborhood or a community group, and they have a political independent expenditure. Oftentimes, though, we see them being financed by a business venture, or we see them financed by an organization that supports business ventures.
Okay.
So this political mailer was produced by a independent expenditure that went by the name of Citizens for Transportation, I believe it was either Transportation Funding or Citizens for Transportation was the independent expenditure group that paid for this mailer. Interestingly enough, this mailer, through that independent expenditure, the funding source for this independent expenditure was the Sonoma County Alliance.
Follow the money,
yeah. So the question that was brought forward after this mailer came out to David Rabbit and to the Sonoma County Alliance was that you're going to put out a political flyer where you alienate... and put a very visceral label on...
What was it they were saying in there? Let's put across what the content of this was.
The content
so people
of...
Understand what
correct.
The consequences
so
are.
The content of this political mailer was labeling immigrants as murderers.
Oh, is that all?
And that immigrants, regardless of their documentation status... could be viewed as something to fear, something to hate, and specifically that they cannot be trusted because they could be potential murderers. So the tone of the mailer was that immigrants is synonymous with an untrustworthy source or a murderer. And they sent this out.
Not to be trusted.
Not to be trusted, correct.
Stay away from those immigrants.
And don't support a candidate that is going to support immigrants
and
be inclusive to the diversity of the community. That was the underlying tone.
Oh, inclusive. Oh, that gets back to that thing about the no Latinos on the board. And this would be about no Latinos on the board being okay, tough luck.
No, yeah. No. Actually, they limited it just to the second district.
Just to the second district.
They listed, yeah, correct. And,
oh,
yeah. And the interesting thing about, though, is that the article that was labeled across all of this had to do with the term sanctuary and sanctuary policies. And the target immigrant community that they went after was the Latino immigrant community. So,
kind of like in Arizona.
It was very much in Arizona, all in it, and all on its own.
Yeah.
It was very visceral.
And we know how well that's going.
Funny how that works, yeah.
So why would the Sonoma County Alliance get involved with that?
That is an interesting question. Why would the Sonoma County Alliance get involved with a independent expenditure group and fund an independent expenditure to promote a flyer that with no uncertain terms, sent a very clear message to the immigrant community and to the Latino community that we view you in such a way that is so visceral that we are going to threaten and intimidate you to win an election? Why would the Sonoma County Alliance endorse that and fund that? And why would their membership stand by that? And why would the Sonoma County Alliance find that to be perfectly okay? Where is the check and balance within their organization that says, you know, perhaps this article is a little, or perhaps this political mailer is a little reaching in its assessment, and perhaps we do not want to alienate one quarter of the residents of Sonoma County. Just maybe, perhaps. We might want to look at this. So that was a really interesting question that came out of it. And the other interesting thing that came out of it is that the Sonoma County Alliance is made up of a large contingency of a lot of business organizations.
Does this start getting to that voting with your...
Economic power, yes. And the Sonoma County Alliance has a website, and they have a list of their membership on there, all the businesses that are a member of the Sonoma County Alliance. And I would encourage the listening audience and the television audience to look at their website and to look at the businesses on there. And if you are participating by actively engaging with them through commerce, if you are a member of a bank that is a member of the Sonoma County Alliance, if you use a medical facility or if you have your insurance through a carrier that is a member of the Sonoma County Alliance, if you are in the process of a construction project and one of the bids is a member of the Sonoma County Alliance, you have an economic vote here, and you can start a conversation about this, about whether or not they, as an individual member, support what this mailer insinuated in a very direct manner.
Yeah.
And you can...
And if they do support it...
And if they do support it, yeah, then you can take your money. Then you can exercise some economic voting power.
Yeah.
So that is one of the key... questions that come out of this, and that we hope our listening audience will go to the Sonoma County Alliance website, and we hope that the viewers of this show who hear about this interesting article and about the Sonoma County Alliance and about the independent expenditure group that came out of it start asking more questions about why they thought that this was a good idea, and should we support businesses that support this ideology and ask the questions. And if you don't support, if the business that's a member of the Sonoma County Alliance says, absolutely not, we do not support flyers that use racial scapegoating, and we do not support what this was about, then perhaps there should be some dialogue about that where...
Maybe they better pull out of it.
Or at the very least, ask for, you know, the organization to reevaluate its mission statement and give a press release that actually denounces the actions of this political flyer. Because, frankly, in the next
Isn't there another election coming up in 2012?
In 2012, that's correct.
So we could be looking for more of these from the Sonoma County
Alliance. I don't think this dialogue is going to go away. There's another organization.
And we could expect the same behavior from the Sonoma County Alliance unless something's done about it. by individuals who are part of it?
Well, I think some of their membership, because I know a few key members came out publicly and said that they did not support the flyer, they did not know about the flyer, and that they did not want their name affiliated. Yeah, they did not want their name or a flyer affiliated to it.
How do you not know?
Well, that is the interesting component of all this, that this independent expenditure group had its own...
They're that independent.
Well, that's the interesting thing, is that they had funding, and they had a list of people who funded this independent expenditure group. It just so happens that they are part, then, of this larger parent organization, and the larger parent organization is the Sonoma County Alliance, which is what brings forward these interesting questions.
So the Sonoma County Alliance, as an organization, has not denounced this approach?
No, they have not.
So they've been silent on this?
Correct.
And they've been silent on their support of it?
Correct.
Now, doesn't that get interesting?
It's a very interesting.
I mean, and let's put this out here. You know, again, let's put some email addresses out. And if you are, if someone in this viewing audience or listening audience, if you're part of the Sonoma County Alliance, you want to somehow defend this, you have words to put behind this about why this is a good thing, why it's great constitutionally, and why it's great for America, and why it's great for Latinos, and why it's great for our community, and you want to call up, you want to email and get on the air with us, because we're on the air on KBBF every week.
Yes, that's correct. Sonoma County Questions is every Monday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So KBBF 89.1, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Monday. The Community Meeting Center will be rebroadcasting this with a certain amount of frequency. I'm not sure when it's going to end up on their schedule. So there are multiple forums that we could talk about this and ask some really key questions about this, and you would have the opportunity to respond to this political avenue that you went down. I would be completely and 100% intrigued to see the justification for this independent expenditure group and for this flyer and for why the tone was taken that immigrants are a community that does not need to be trusted and certainly should not be a part of the political spectrum of Sonoma County. I find that very interesting that they took this particular tone.
And as for me, I'm a voter, and I am really surprised by how some of this went during these political battles. And I'm saying this not as a member of any group. I'm in, like many people in the community, I'm involved in various groups, this group, that group, and I do have a radio show. And I'm involved with this radio show as well. So as a person who's on the radio and who's in the media and a person who's a voter, I definitely want to put that out there that, you know, regardless of what organization you might be politically or that I might be politically, I would really like to give someone an opportunity to speak to this. So, again, my email address, I'll give you my Gmail address. It's dkerbein, that's dkerbein at gmail.com. And
for
you have one too?
I do as well. And so for Sonoma County Questions on KPBF, if you are interested or if you're a member of the Sonoma County Alliance and you would like to discuss this mailer with the listening audience and also with the Community Media Center audience, I encourage that. The email address you can reach me at is cherie.m.maria@gmail.com. Again, cherie.m.maria@gmail.com. And we encourage the opportunity to have some questions asked about this independent expenditure group and what the future of this independent expenditure group intends to be, and talking about your organization and how your organization came to decide that this was an effective use of your finances, and that this was a correct political course of action to take. And I should also mention that this article that did get released in the North Bay Bohemian interviewed some very key members of our community. One person in particular was Lisa Maldonado of the North Bay Labor Council. And Lisa took from this mailer that it was the worst kind of pandering and fear-mongering, and that it was so unnecessary, and that her group, which is the North Bay Labor Council, as a result of this flyer coming out, they made a decision to sever their ties with the Sonoma County Alliance, because this North Bay business lobby, which is what the Sonoma County Alliance lists themselves, that because they funded this mailer, that they were, and to go on to quote Lisa Maldonado, "We were concerned about anyone in the labor movement being associated with the scapegoating of immigrants." Now, interestingly enough, Lisa Maldonado did not come to this conclusion without seeing, you know, she had not seen the census data yet. She had not seen that one quarter of the population of Sonoma County was Latino, that there are 120,430.
If you go to Rosenthalat, though, you can see that that's where the trend is going.
I think you can go anywhere in Sonoma County and see the trend that where it's going.
Welcome to the new community. Go out anywhere in Sonoma County and listen to what's being spoken. Listen to the language being spoken and take a look at who the members of your community are. So, Sheree, with the 2012 election coming up,
correct,
and with this kind of census data, what do you think that this bodes for the politicians who want to use this kind of hit piece in the future?
Well, interestingly enough, the fact that this quote-unquote worked in 2010, which is intriguing to me that they thought this was an effective tactic, I see the political climate in Sonoma County going in a direction where this is going to be...
That is
the KPBF.
Yes, we use the latest technology. This happens to be my iPhone telling us that we're going to be, we have less than five minutes to wrap this up and
come up with
so
some,
that we can be courteous to the media,
some conclusions to Sonoma County Questions this week. Yes.
Exactly. Go ahead.
So the interesting thing in the remaining few minutes that we have here for production today, that interestingly enough, that I think what we're seeing here for 2012, I hope, is a dialogue within the Latino community, within the Latino community, and especially with talking with, I think, in particular, high school students. I would hope that the listeners of KBBF that are parents that have, you know, children that are turning 18 in 2012, if they are eligible to register to vote, that they register to vote, and that we look at this opportunity and start asking questions about what the 2012 election can really look like in terms of demographics, in terms of representation, and in terms of the fact that one quarter of the population of Sonoma County is Latino, and we should start asking key questions that every school board, every city council, our board of supervisors, every commission, every area of local government. That representation needs to be reflective of the community that which it serves. So if 25% of the community of Sonoma County is Latino, the 2012 election, we should start looking at that as a goal, that we bring 25% representation to our local government, to our statewide government, and that it becomes a priority and becomes a part of the dialogue, and that there are multiple ways to bring this into a reality. That
you mean like wake up the sleeping giant?
That's one. I think the very key component to all of this is that, to give very simple numbers, that 120,430 residents of Sonoma County are Latino. Mm-hmm. If every member of the Latino community, of that 120,430, gave $1, just $1, that's $120,430. Now, that does not sound like a lot in terms of a statewide campaign, but for the city council race in Santa Rosa, for example, the funding cap is $40,000. For most school boards, they are not high-funded races. For city council in Sebastopol and Cotati, these are races that oftentimes the campaigns are running on $25,000 or less. So $1 could make a huge difference if everyone in the community contributed to a cause that supported bringing greater Latina representation to every city council, every board, every commission in Sonoma County. So on that note, as we are heading towards the end of the hour, I will leave that as the underlying concept or idea and propose the question of what would be the organizational requirements to make something like that a reality, to utilize the economic power, and how we can make that a real possibility in the 2012 election and beyond. So that are the questions that we're going to be bringing forward with Sonoma County Questions. How do we send a resounding response to the David Rabbit mailer and a resounding response to the Citizens for Transportation Funding and their independent expenditure, and to the Sonoma County Alliance for funding the wonderful expenditure that they did? I think that 2012 and looking at opportunities to create greater representation for the Latino community in all aspects of our local government is a fantastic goal, and I hope we can encourage a dialogue that moves in that direction, and moves in that direction with the ballot box, and moves in that direction with economic force. I think that the potential is there to have both real economic viability as we are looking into the future and looking into green technology and looking into green industries. I think that there is an opportunity there simultaneously that we can exercise some political power of on multiple levels.
Great, great. Can you also, Sheree, as we wrap this up, let people know when they can be listening on KBF to Sonoma County Questions?
Sonoma County Questions. Sonoma County Questions will be airing Mondays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Monday, and then we're in the process of heading this towards a podcast, and the Community Media Center will be broadcasting this as part of their schedule, and I'm sure it'll get repeated, and I'm sure I'll be walking down the street, and people will... So, but for purposes, yeah, oh, you're that one that went on the air and talked about this, oh, really, they had that independent, where'd you find that article anyway? Yeah, no.
And that's on KBBF 89.1.
KBBF 89.1 FM.
It's bilingual radio and community radio for, this is a four-county area. Sonoma, Napa, and beyond.
Sonoma, Napa, and beyond, yes. So within Sonoma County in and of itself, you know, I'm hoping we have 120,430 listeners and that they want to be part of that political dialogue for 2012 and beyond. So, again, you are listening to KBBS 89.1 FM.